Well, God bless you this morning. We do welcome you here at First Baptist Church. And right off the bat this morning, we're going to observe the ordinance of baptism. And we have Evan Anders, who has come by profession of faith to participate in baptism as a testimony of that faith. And so he'll come this morning. Evan, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
I have.
All right. What's your testimony?
About 15 years ago, I came to know Christ. He has begun his sanctification work in my life already. It took me a little while to get into the water, but I'm glad to be here. He saved me by grace through faith, and that faith was a free gift. And it's been a beautiful gift. I've known it for 15 years, and I look forward to many more in his service. Thank you all.
All right, Evan, because of your trust in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and your desire to follow him in this baptism, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Allow me to pray at this time. Our Father, we are indeed humbled before you today and look forward to being in your presence. Lord God, to sing praises to your glorious name and to remind ourselves through praise and thanksgiving of what a great God and provider that you are. We thank you, Father, for this testimony that's been given before our eyes today in the ordinance of baptism. We pray that you bless and fill Evan with your Spirit and use him to your glory and your kingdom's work. That, Father God, we'll find ourselves in those settings to help walk with him and, Lord God, to assist him along the way. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church, your family, your kingdom's work. Lord God, may you be exalted this morning as we continue to celebrate your goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray in the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Okay, this week we have several things going on. Upward Sports will be beginning their evaluations this week. And to talk a little bit more about and to talk with you about Upward Basketball, Brother Robert Clay will come up there at this time.
Good morning. All right, guys, this Upward Basketball season is approaching fast. The evaluations start this week, and the first practice is only 7 weeks away. Last year, about 250 kids from our community played. Upward Basketball brought hundreds, if not thousands, of people right into our door. What an opportunity we have to share the gospel. This could be a start of a great revival. Please sign up and be a part of this. It is a huge ministry that takes the whole church. But there's ways to participate right now. One is the Upward Evaluations. That's starting Thursday, starting from 6 to 8, Thursday and Friday, and Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. And that involves helping kids try on clothes to see what size jerseys and stuff they need, having a stopwatch to record shots and drills and different things like that so we can get teams together. There's a notebook at the Welcome Center, a clipboard that you can sign up, and it takes quite a few people, so please sign up. Another way is prayer. We need prayer. We need prayer for wisdom for the committee. We need to pray for the hearts and ears to be open to the gospel of the kids coming in and parents and other people it brings in, and also we need to pray for workers and Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Seeing the people, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." So by beseech, he means ask. So we need to ask the Lord to send us workers for his harvest. Ways to participate during the season. We need coaches. practices 1 hour a week, 1 day a week for the younger kids, and an hour and a half for the older kids. And the game is about 1 hour on a Saturday. We need when coaches receive a manual to help walk them through the process. It takes a lot of coaches, especially if that many kids sign up again. So another way is concession stand workers. There were volunteers last year that opened the concession stand at 7:15 a.m. and were still around after 9 p.m. cleaning up. To volunteer for a couple hours every Saturday would really help. Help has been especially thin in the afternoon hours. We would like to thank everyone who has helped in the concession stand in the past. Another way to serve is the game day halftime devotions. Last year there were 12 times a Saturday at every half hour to share the gospel with all the family, friends, and others who are in the gym watching the games. What an opportunity. If you feel led to lead one or more devotions, please sign up. A devotion will be provided if needed. And the last one is assistant coaches. And I'm excited about this one because being an assistant coach doesn't mean that you have to know anything about basketball. You just have to love the kids. Love that we can pair you up with somebody that does know about basketball. It's love the kids. It's during the practice 1 hour a week. There's a time in the middle of practice where you have a halftime devotion. A practice half is sharing that with the kids. It's meeting the parents. It's talking to the parents that are at practice, dropping their kids off. It's just a good way to build relationships. So, no matter where we sign up to help with Upward, we should all be ready to share the gospel. The gospel: King Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners such as you and I. And there are many opportunities to do that through Upward Basketball. The season is fast approaching. Please sign up today at the Welcome Center. Upward evaluations start this week. We're excited about what the Lord is going to do through Upward in this people this season. Please contact Steve or one of the members of the Upward Committee have any questions. Let's pray for Upward this year. Father God, we love you, Lord. We want to serve you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless the Upward Basketball Ministry this season, Lord. Lord, we ask that you give the committee wisdom, Lord, and help it to run smoothly, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you bring in children and families and parents, Lord, and that they be receptive to your gospel, Lord. Lord, we ask that you send workers to the harvest, Lord. We ask that you ignite our hearts, Lord. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
All right. Going on with some of our announcements. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Operation Christmas Child Packing Party into the Fellowship Hall. There's more information in your program, so please read that. Okay, and also Wednesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. in the SMB, we'll be having our church-wide Thanksgiving meal. And also in your program, you'll see by last name what we're asking you to bring. And there'll be no other evening services that night except for the fellowship meal with the Thanksgiving, except for choir. We're practicing after that. Okay, so we can get ready for the cantata for you, which we hope you'll join us on December 11th for that. Anyway, there's a lot more information inside your bulletin, so please read that. At this time, for our deacon prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Ike if he would come up here and lead us in prayer, please.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice we can be in your house today, and we just ask that your name would be high and lifted up. Each of us would be changed. Lord, the lost might be saved. Lord, we thank you for your word, time in it this morning in our Sunday school classes. Lord, as we think of your word, and we're grateful for the ordinances you commanded the church to always remember, and the one you were blessed us to witness this morning in Brother Evans' testimony of baptism. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we rejoice and give you thanks for those that may be visiting with us today, and ask your blessings, watch care over them. Mindful of the many in our congregation that may be ill, and Lord, we just ask you, dear God, to please minister to, heal, and restore them. Others about to have surgery, we pray the peace of Christ upon them and divine healing. Lord, you save us for many reasons, and for that we're forever grateful. one of those, Lord, being to serve you. And Lord, the many ministries of this church, we pray, Lord, that each of us, we would sense your calling where you would have us to serve in each ministry. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege you give us to do so. Lord, bless the word today and the song, all to your glory and for your honor. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.
Okay, as most of you, I'm sure, are aware, this Friday, November 11th, is Veterans Day, a day that we take in our country to thank our veterans and those that are currently serving. And so we want to do that today also. And if you're a veteran or currently serving in some aspects, dear, would you please stand so we can be recognized? Okay, thank you. If you will, let me say a prayer for our veterans and for our country. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for those that stood that are veterans. Father, many of us have those in our families that are not here with us that are veterans. Father, we just thank you for their service to our country and their sacrifice that they gave, a sacrifice away from their families, from times, from holidays. And Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy, we thank you them so much. And Father, as this little video said, we're thankful that we have the freedom to come to church to worship you. And it's because of men and women that have served in our armed forces in the past and present that allows that. And as it says, thank you for allowing us to be able to spread your word freely. Lord, we have many people to thank for that throughout the generations that have come before us and the generations that are here now serving. And again, Lord, please bless these veterans and thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would, please stand, and we're going to sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
More.
Number 231, Come Christians Join to Sing, 231.
Father, we're so thankful for all your many blessings. We're so thankful this morning for this observance of baptism. We're thankful for our veterans who have served our country. We're just thankful for this nation. Just pray for the upcoming elections and the purposes of our government to protect and serve the people. We are thankful this morning for all the ways you've blessed us and just ask that you would take these offerings and use them to the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you for this upcoming message. Just bless Brother Robert. Give him your words of wisdom. Again, we thank you and ask that you forgive us, Lord, for all the ways we fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. Believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. Gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe.
Thank you, Houston and choir. And Miss Lynette played some this morning, too. Thank you, Lynette and Sheila. Well, this time of the year, in fact, last night kind of stopped the combination of sports seasons. Professional sports had hockey and golf and baseball and football and basketball all going on at the same time. And now baseball's over. Praise the Lord. He knew what He was doing there. I don't know. I don't even know if He cares about our sports, but we do apparently. But I am a fan. I was an athlete when I was younger, and I enjoyed playing sports. I do check on ESPN most evenings and kind of find out what's going on in the sports and new developments that are happening. The one thing that I've found that's common in sports, I knew was true when I was a young man, is that in the interviews of professional athletes or the managers or the coaches, there is a great emphasis upon getting back to fundamentals. If you're going to be good at your craft, at your sport, to focus on the basics, to make sure that you do the things that are the very foundational for your sport. And oftentimes, if you pay attention to those basics and you give enough practice, the rest of it comes together. One golfer, older golfer back in the days of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, was Gary Player. And one of his sayings was, "I've discovered that the more I practice, the luckier I get." And that's true when you put work in, when you discipline yourself, when you give attention to the details and the basics, you have success. And he was a great golfer. He still swings the sticks a little bit, not publicly, but he does play. And that's true. That can be said also of the believer's walk with Christ. If we would give attention to the basics, to the fundamentals, what is the priority for why we serve the Lord God? What is the basis for why we trust Him? And if we hold to the basics and build everything else off of that, we will find the word success. And listen, for the believer, success is to walk like Jesus walked. That's really our goal. When you find what Jesus promoted among his followers, it was, listen to me and do what I say. The Apostle Paul, when he preached, he said, listen to what I hear or what I say, hear it, see it, and do it. If we will apply the basics, we'll find ourselves being more Christ-like. And this really is the goal of the Father for us in salvation, is that we be made more and more into the image of Jesus. And if we build on basics and on the foundations, we will find that to become true. There's a lot of instruction in the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, for walking in a manner worthy of the gospel to which we've been called as believers. I'm going to focus this morning on one small section. In fact, one verse of Scripture out of a larger context that the Apostle Paul left us in his second letter to Timothy. So if you'll join me at this time as I read 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, let's stand together, give honor to the reading of the word, and then we'll pray and devote our hearts to understand and apply this truth. The Apostle Paul in writing here says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who've loved his appearing. Let's pray together. Father, we humble our hearts before you and thank you for the privilege to be in this place today. Lord God, to take part in the celebration of this life that is committed to you and it's publicly proclaimed through baptism, his trust in you and his desire to serve. I thank you, Father, for the reminder that our nation has been protected and fought for by brave and courageous souls who have committed themselves to this country's liberty and justice. Father, I thank you that you have pointed our attention to our God, who is the Savior, who is the Redeemer, who's Creator. And Lord God, may we lay down those basics in our life, and may we live according to them and build accordingly. Teach our hearts this morning, Father, as we look at this instruction by this apostle you appointed. And Lord God, may we grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This letter of 2 Timothy is a second one, of course. 1 Timothy was written earlier as instruction to young Timothy, a son in the faith. The Apostle Paul identifies Timothy as a son in the faith, and we take from that he grew in the faith. Now he could have very well been led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul, but there's more information that gives us reason to believe that he was strongly impacted by his mother and his grandmother. And you find that in the letters, that he was strongly influenced by these around him who had a love for the Lord God. And so Timothy, being a desirous man to serve the Lord in some way, was instructed and perhaps mentored by the Apostle Paul. And Paul would write these letters to Timothy. Timothy served at the church of Ephesus, we know for sure. Paul wrote this letter, this particular letter, from a prison, which would be his last imprisonment before his execution. History records for us that he would eventually be beheaded and executed for his faith. But we find him giving this testimony to Timothy, and I believe as a result of that book of the Bible being preserved for us today as testimony and information for us as well, that we too would find ourselves living up to this testimony and having that testimony as our own when our days come to an end. And what was that testimony? Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Now, we shouldn't try to interpret or understand this one verse of Scripture just pulling it out of its text. There is a larger context. Again, Paul's instructing a young pastor who was serving at a church. He penned this while he was waiting execution. But when we look at the larger letter, the content of this letter carries with it urgency. I want to take you to a few verses. If you have your Bible open, go to chapter 1 for just a moment and notice verse 8. He tells the young pastor, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. He goes down a little bit further and says, I am not ashamed in verse 12. He tells in verse 8, retain the standard of sound works. He's really giving Timothy a charge here. Guard the treasure in verse 14. Guard this treasure that's been entrusted to you. Chapter 2, verse 1, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, implying that you need to stand firm. There's some things coming against you. So stand firm, be strong in the faith. Notice verse 8 also. Remember Christ risen from the dead. There's another basic we should never forget as believers. Christ has been raised up. It has great implications for us as his followers. Verse 14 of chapter 2, remind the church of these things. Again, urgency that comes across in this letter. Chapter 3, verse 1, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Things are going to get hard. Timothy, be ready. And then in verse 14 of chapter 3, continue in the things that you've learned. There's great urgency in this letter. The tone of the letter is that Timothy should be on guard, and he should be as prepared as possible for that which is coming. And even in the chapter we're in the first five verses, listen to this. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. That, I don't know about you, that sounds serious. It's emphatic. I'm charging you in the presence of God and his Savior, who will judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, because the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from truth and will turn aside to myths. That doesn't sound like very good news to a pastor. I can tell you that would be a difficult assignment if the Lord were to speak to me and say, hey, I'm charging you, and I believe he is. This is not going to be an easy task. Verse 5, just be sober in all things, in your own life, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Great charge. And I think we can apply that to ourselves even if you're not a pastor. Preparation, being ready for Christ's return, thinking about, how do I need to be prepared to stand against the difficulties of this world? Listen, if you don't think things are difficult in this world, maybe you just haven't been listening to the news, and maybe that's a good thing. We live in Little Edna, Texas, and we're somewhat protected from some of the bigger things that are happening in bigger cities. People are going crazy. People are losing their minds. And hopefully we can keep a sense of sensibility in this small town. But you know what? Eventually we're going to have to step up and be ready for difficult times. And this is the instruction the apostle is giving to young Timothy. And in that instruction, as Paul's winding down his letter and getting ready to close this out, he gives this testimony to the young pastor. And he says here, listen, be ready, follow my lead. And listen, earlier in this letter, Paul had instructed Timothy to give attention to three necessary qualities. I want to take you there. If you have your Bible again, go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 3 and following. After he tells him, be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus, whatever you've heard from me in the presence of witnesses, bring this to faithful men and help them to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Remember these verses. They apply to this declaration and testimony that Paul makes back in chapter 4. Be a good soldier. And no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he can please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, remember that. Not only a soldier, but like an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Then this third admonition in verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. And consider what I say, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And so with that in mind, we look at this testimony, verse 7, where the apostle gives these three metaphors a little bit more of credibility. First as a soldier, then as an athlete, then as a farmer. First, Paul declared, I've fought the good fight. When we think about that, we think military mindedness. We think about picking up arms and moving, and I know there are some in this very congregation who would be ready to pick up arms and face an enemy. And it may come to that someday. Who knows? We've had a revolution in this nation before, but what I'm saying is there's also a different kind of soldier. There's one who enlisted him. Do you remember the Apostle Paul in other texts saying, we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of another world. In that other world, we do have a commander. We have a captain of our faith. We have one who's the leader, the commander-in-chief, as it were, of our very souls. And he enlisted you. If you trusted him, he's not out there just kind of hoping. He knows you were going to say yes to him. He assigned you, and you said yes. He enlisted you. And as an enlisted child, your desire is to exercise an allegiance to him. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. I've had allegiance to this one who enlisted me to come. And listen, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for Jesus' followers to kill them. If you remember his testimony, he was going after them. He had the documents to take and to capture and to kill the Christians. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped him in his tracks. And he said, hey, Paul, you're going to be doing something for me from now on. You're no longer going to be following what the Pharisees have assigned you to do. I'm giving you an assignment. You're going this direction. And the Apostle Paul became an Apostle Paul at that moment. He was just Saul of Damascus before that. He was given an assignment, and now he had a new commander. And he followed the lead of that commander from that day forward. And he paid a very heavy price for that. He didn't get entangled in the things of the world because he was focused upon being a good soldier and serving the one who had enlisted him in the army of the Lord in his kingdom. Listen, every believer has been enlisted in this army. And every believer has been specifically and personally enabled certain gifts. None of us are exactly the same in how we've been gifted by the Father. None of us exercise those common gifts in the very same way. The Lord's wise in that. He knows how you're going to exercise your gift. He gifts you, and then he sets you forth. And by the power of the Spirit, you're able to conduct yourself in such a way that you edify other believers and you exalt Christ as you exercise those gifts. Why? Because you have a commander and you're a soldier. And you're doing what he's enabled you to do. No army man or marine or naval man goes into the service without the government supplying him a weapon, supplying him an assignment. He is enabled, and so the believer is enabled by the Lord to be set apart for a certain kind of conflict. And listen, the war that we enter into as believers is largely invisible. We can make it a visible war, but we shouldn't. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, "We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers in the heavenly places." There's a spiritual battle going on all around us as believers. The moment your soul was converted, you entered into a battle with the devil. And he hates you because you've trusted Christ. He hates anything to do with God. And he's got his own little army. And the devil can't be everywhere at once like Christ can. But he's got demons and minions. And they're all over the place. And they influence people. Even believers can be knocked off track if you're not careful. You can't be possessed by the wicked one, but you can certainly be thwarted by the wicked one. Be careful. Your assignment is to follow the one who called you and enlisted you in the king's army. And we do wrestle. That's why the Apostle Paul in that Ephesian letter would say, so believer, here's the thing. Put on the full armor of God. And we think about the breastplate and the helmet and all these things, but what he's talking about is truth and righteousness and the word of God and the sword of the Spirit and prayer and righteousness to put on these things that the Lord has entrusted to your care by virtue of belonging to Christ, by putting the Holy Spirit on you. You now have all of these weapons that are necessary to be able to ward off the attacks of the wicked one. Why? Because you're a soldier now. You've been put in a battlefield, and the battle's for your soul and the souls of others around you that the Lord will give you opportunity to share the good news with. So the fight is not necessarily against those we can see. It is against evil forces. Now, the apostle had gotten battered and bruised. By his own testimony, he had been shipwrecked, and he had been beaten up and left for dead. He had been stoned. He'd been kicked out of cities and left for dead. He had bounty put on his head more than one time that people took a vow to not eat again until we kill this apostle. He was imprisoned more than once. Paul felt the wrath and the anger of his own fellow countrymen because he had converted to Christ. He was a very persecuted man. He came against a lot of different battles. But here at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul could say, I've fought the good fight. I've done it well. I did it in a way that honored the Father who called me, who assigned me to the task. I fought this good fight. Listen, we need to focus on the battle that's before us. And the battle is not against each other. It is against the wicked forces of Satan. There we should focus. God forbid we get sidetracked and we fight the wrong battle. And there are a lot of ways to fight this fight. I just say, let the Spirit of God and your conscience be your guide and trust what Scripture teaches you as a child of God, where your battle should be. But let it be a good fight. By virtue of this instruction, you and I, not only Timothy, are assigned to this responsibility to fight the good fight. Secondly, Paul declared, I've finished the course. This is like that of an athlete. I've finished the course. Athletes, whatever their sport, they have to complete. And the second chapter told us this in verse 5, according to the rules. In every sport, there are boundaries and there are rules set up for how you conduct yourself within those boundaries in your competition against others. And there are limits in what you can do. And there are some things you just cannot do without penalty. Perhaps in some sports without getting set down on the bench for a while. I know in hockey they do that. I don't even understand hockey. But when they commit a penalty, they go sit in a box for about 2 minutes. They can't play until that 2 minutes is up. Then they can come back on the ice and beat each other up with sticks. In some sports, if you habitually break the rules, you can get disqualified, sometimes suspended, maybe for a season, sometimes for life. There are rules and boundaries within every sport. Now, Paul said, I operated according to the rules as a believer. What does that mean? Listen, if you are in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote this, there's no condemnation for you. You're not going to be kicked off the team. But there certainly might be some kind of consequence for not playing according to the rules. And it might thwart your testimony before men. We have to be careful that we play according to the rules the Lord gives us. And he gives us plenty of rules. And remember, Paul's one that said, don't just operate yourself according to a list of rules somewhere. But the Bible does give us instruction how we're to act and how we're not to act. Usually when there's a list of things that we ought to do, right close to it, before it or after, is a list of the way we shouldn't do it. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, if you look at the verses before that, it tells you the fruit of the flesh, the things you shouldn't be involved in, before it tells you how we ought to act in the Spirit. There is always a contrast in Scripture to tell us how we ought to be instructing ourselves. And that's not that we sit down with a list and write them down and say, I'm checking this off, I'm doing this right, I'm not doing that so good. It is so that the Spirit inside of us reminds us, oh wait, you're supposed to be tenderhearted to this person today. You're supposed to forgive this person just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Oh wait a minute, you're supposed to help this person because they have need and you have a way to help. There are just things that the Spirit reveals to us. And as we're thinking about how we run the course according to the rules, we should do it in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a model to do, and through the apostles and through the Apostle Paul, and then through the record that they give us and how we are to do that. Paul's testimony, I finished the course. Earlier, I stayed according to the rules. Here, I finished the course. And I believe there's something to this idea of enduring. I finished the race. Listen, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. When I ran cross country, there was always a guy they called a rabbit. And he would start off on the starting line with all the rest of us, and he'd shoot out of there like a rocket to run a 2-mile race in our day. And he would go, and you wouldn't go very far. You'd see the guy leaning over on the side, either puking or trying to catch his breath because he went out too fast. There's a race before you, child, and you're to run it in a proper pace. You're to run it with a goal in mind. And you're to make sure that you get to the finish line. The most endearing thing is one of the Olympics back in the 60s and perhaps the 70s where a Redman was running a race and he began to falter and his body was giving up and his dad came down out of the stands and took him by the side and helped him to finish to the finish line. He finished dead last in the race. But it gives the Spirit, I'm going to help you finish. It's about finishing the race. The moniker on the golf course is, it's not how you drive, it's how you arrive. When you get to the green, if you can't do anything on the green, then you're probably not going to score well. And that's where most golfers have it wrong. They want to hit the big bomber down the fairway, but they don't want to make sure they can do it on the greens. In every sport, you have this idea. Same is true in the Christian walk. It's not just kicking off with a blast, it's finishing the course. The course that's before you, and to finish it. The Apostle Paul in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 of this very letter, he says, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God's not imprisoned. For this reason I endure everything for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. That's to say, I endure. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to keep moving forward. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 13, in speaking about salvation, he said, they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. You'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away, deliver up one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. Lord Jesus Christ says, hang in there. It's tough. Going to be a tough road. And our world's turning to these very things, these principles that Jesus spoke in here. Our world's going that direction. And you will be hated. Even in Jesus' own ministry, in John chapter 6, And this is easy to remember because the number of flesh is 666. That's the number we all cringe at as if you study the Bible. Chapter 6, verse 66 is where the record is in the scripture that Jesus' teachings were too hard and many left him. The number of flesh reveals in that chapter and verse that those who couldn't handle Jesus' teachings left because they could handle the flesh better than they can handle life in the spirit. You must endure. You must cross the finish line, and the only finish line there is Christ. It's in glory, and only he can carry you there. So you must have great dependence upon this. Finishing the race is an essential in the Christian journey. First, the Apostle Paul said, I fought the good fight. You need to live a life that fights the good fight, and then you finish the course. And then thirdly, I've kept the faith. Verse 7c. This is reference to Paul's service to the Lord God, like a farmer or a guardian, as it were. What's a farmer do? A farmer tills the ground, goes out by the sweat of his brow. He works the land and stirs it up and loosens the dirt so that he can then come and plant seeds. And then he watches over it and makes sure weeds and all the things are pulled out of it. And then he trusts the Lord to bring rain, because that's really how the crop's going to grow, to bring rain and sunshine to make the crop come forth. Well, the farmer can't do anything except plant, till the ground and plant the seed and take care of his land. Outside of that, he can't control the harvest. The Apostle Paul realized that. He was assigned to go and share the gospel with the Gentiles, and then to trust God with the results. And he did that in every place. He would go to the Jews first, go to the synagogue, he'd speak to them, and then when he'd upset enough of them, then he went out and started speaking to the Gentiles. And he got the gospel out there, and then the Lord brought forth a great harvest. Paul planted those seeds and trusted God. In chapter 2, verse 8 through 17, listen. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God's not imprisoned, and so for this reason I endure all things, that those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. And here's a trustworthy statement: if we died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, solemnly charge them in the presence of God, not to wrangle about words. That's useless, leads to the ruin of the hearers. But be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. So he goes through and he speaks and he gives them this encouragement and says, look, just go and be about the business of keeping the faith and planting the gospel seed. That's really what we were called to do. Go and tell the gospel, plant the gospel seed, and then trust the Lord who gave you eternal life as a gift to bring eternal life into the lives of others with that seed that's been planted. Keep the faith. The apostle's earlier words in chapter 1, verses 8 to 14, and these are long sections of scripture, but I believe they're important to the context. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed in the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There is this dependence the Apostle Paul had on the Lord God for this gospel to be spread and for a harvest of souls to be brought at the end of days. You and I should follow the lead of the Apostle Paul, this charge that he brings to young Timothy. Be like a soldier. Have an allegiance to the commander of the Lord's army. Be like an athlete and be disciplined. Stay the course. Follow the instruction of Scripture. And then keep the faith. Make it about the gospel. Pass the word of good news and trust the Lord to bring forth the harvest. The Apostle Paul said these are the basics. At the end of his life, these are the three things he testifies about to Timothy and leaves for us to consider. With all of this, the Apostle Paul said, I'll suffer for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I know whom I believed, and I'll keep these things. I'll guard my soul. I'll retain the standard. I'll guard this treasure. We ought to have that same testimony. And with all of this was a view to the future. In the next verse, verse 8, in the future there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who've loved his appearing. If you want to continue Bible study, I'm going to be preaching on verse 8 tonight. Suffice it to say this, in that one verse, Paul trusted that God had a place and a reward for him because he fought the good fight. He stayed on the course, and he kept the faith. There's reward for those who trust the Lord and follow his lead and live according to the basics. These are basics. Listen, our current life here is just temporary. We talked about this last week. There's an eternal glory that awaits, and we should conduct ourselves here appropriately in this temporary place. Do we have responsibilities? Yes. This week, if you've not voted, go vote. Because this community, this nation, this state you live in, there are consequences if you don't go out and voice your word. Go. As the Lord has stirred your heart to know what values you hold, go and vote for those who uphold those values for you. Go and vote. But remember, this world's temporary. And one day we'll go to a place where there will always be liberty and justice and truth. And there will always be provision for everybody, not just for a select few. The Lord God has a perfect plan in place if we would trust him. And he gives this instruction, as you conduct yourself in this world, I want you to fight the good fight. However the Lord leads you to do that, he's gifted you for it, he's enabled you, he's given you what you need, go be a good soldier. And be a good athlete and conduct yourself with discipline. And be sure you stay on the course and follow the rules. Because listen, there are people, spectators, watching you as you run this race. How is he running that race? And then thirdly, keep the faith. The gospel's the gospel. I think churches have tried to change it so it'd be more tasty for those outside of the faith. Listen, the gospel is the gospel, and the gospel itself is what draws man's soul to the Lord God. I'm a sinner. I have need of forgiveness. I can't do it on my own. God sent his son who came and died for my sin, and I trust him with that. That same Christ who died for me is raised up to life because he satisfied God's righteousness and his wrath against my sin. And I want to trust that God because there's no other place for my salvation. And he's already ascended into heaven. He's waiting the day to come back and to take us to be with him. That's the God I want to follow. That's the gospel. And listen, the Lord has moved in your life by assigning you, giving you this charge. Be a soldier, a good soldier. Be an athlete, be a farmer, and trust the Lord God. Let's be faithful to do that. Listen, this morning we had a wonderful testimony. Someone who's been a believer for 15 years, and he came forth in boldness and courage to say, you know what? Now I'm convinced I want to be baptized. Well, like a Baptist. And we saw him do this and give testimony. There are people out there waiting that Lord has assigned to do the same thing. But they need us to be faithful to what we've been assigned as soldiers, athletes, and farmers. You know what? That's your assignment. We're going to be dismissed in a minute. Get out of here and go do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to know you. We thank you, Father, for the instruction that you continually give us through your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've implanted inside the lives of each of us who are believers, so that we might understand and apply these truths to our lives, so that we might honor you, our great Redeemer, our Creator, and honor the one who came and died in our place. Father, we recognize veterans this morning, and we are grateful for those who've gone and helped to hold on and maintain liberty and justice in this nation. We thank you also for Christ, who came and did what we could not do in fighting the battle of our sin and winning the battle. Lord God, may we be faithful in honoring him and serving him every day of our lives. Stir us. Lord God, for those that may have not trusted you yet, I pray you stir their heart, bring them to a place to trust you, because there's no other place to go. Lord God, we love you. Thank you for loving us so much. You have us here this morning to hear this word and now to respond. Move us where you need us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond.
Decision, please come on up. Brother Robert, meet with you. The altar is open if anyone needs to come up and have a prayer.
Father, we have brokenness in our hearts in some places. We have joy in our hearts for others. There have been births. There have been successful surgeries. There are those fixing to go into surgery. I just pray, Father, thanking you that you're going to meet the needs of all of these and the provisions that are necessary, Lord, for them to move forward. And we just pray thanking you for the assignment you've given us to be a part of that. Lord God, may we be sensitive to your Spirit as we move into our community, into our homes, our neighborhoods this next week. Father God, use us and be glorified through us. We pray, thanking you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to introduce and thank you for watching this morning as Brother Evan gave testimony through the baptism. As we do with children, we have, almost said it again, birth certificate and a Gideon Bible. It is a baptism certificate, but he did make the mention this morning. He said, well, it kind of is a birth certificate. It's just kind of an indication of this day. And so praise the Lord for him. He is leading in one of our Sunday school classes, and I've been in that class, and he does a marvelous job of looking into God's Word. And so praise the Lord for him. Pray for him as he leads. So thank you, Brother Evan. You have a good day with your family. Don't forget, I believe it's coming up this next week. There are basketball evaluations for Upward Basketball. That's fixing to kick into gear. There are a lot of people needed, as Brother Robert Clay mentioned this morning. If you know people that would be willing to help, let's get them on the bus. Let's get them here, and let's get some help with that ministry. It impacts our community, and it's a very worthy ministry. I will be preaching on verse 8 tonight out of the same chapter. Hope you come back tonight, Brother Houston.
Okay, as we go, let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless and have a great week. Hope to see you back tonight.